Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Now, it's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Ryan Porth.
Brought to you by Cool Springs Laser Dentistry, Wyatt Johnson Ford, Gary Zier, Remax Elite, and Geno's East.
On your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Welcome into Preds Insiders on this Tuesday evening, a special Tuesday edition of Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everyone had a fun and safe holiday weekend as we had Memorial Day just yesterday. Now, today, Gary Bettman met with, or he didn't meet with the media, he held a press conference to announce the return to play format for the National Hockey League if the NHL is able to return to play. And joining me this evening to react to everything that we heard this afternoon from Commissioner Gary Bettman is Adam Vingan of The Athletic. Adam, how are we doing this evening?
Ryan, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing just dandy here on this fine Tuesday evening in Nashville, Tennessee. So, all right, let's jump right into it. Gary Bettman announces today. Let's kind of go over the Cliff Notes version of what Bettman had to say today. The 2019-20 regular season is essentially over. All the stats are final. The win-loss and point totals from the regular season from the teams are final, and the awards can be based off those results. Correct?
Correct.
Then if the league can return, if the health officials deem it possible for them to return, they will do so with the 24-team format that has been widely rumored here in the last week or two. And it will happen within two hub cities that will house 12 teams each. So there will essentially be a Western Conference hub and an Eastern Conference hub. And those cities are yet to be determined. Nashville is not one of those teams being considered for the hub cities. Were you surprised by that?
No, I was not. Certainly, the league is doing its due diligence to determine which cities would be best to host these games. And there are a lot of factors that go into that. The ability to house players and staff safely, the amount of practice facilities or available ice rinks for teams to practice on, and then possibly hold training camp in, and of course, how those cities are handling the coronavirus pandemic. Of course, some cities have been hit much worse than others. So the 10 cities that are being considered still, according to the NHL, are Chicago, Columbus, Dallas, Edmonton, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Pittsburgh, Toronto, and Vancouver. So not a surprise on my end to see Nashville excluded from that list.
I was a little surprised to see LA on that list, considering all the issues that the state of California has been going through with COVID-19, but that's neither here nor there. Whichever hub city or hub cities the NHL lands on for this return to play, teams cannot travel to the hub city with more than 50 people on the plane. So trying to limit the amount of people that are traveling to these hub cities. And then the playoff format. And this is what we have been discussing for the last 2 months of how the NHL should return, if they can return. How should they finish this season? Well, we have a plan. We have a plan from the National Hockey League of how they will do this, again, if they can return sometime later this summer. The top four seeds in each conference will get a bye, and then seeds 5 through 12 in each of the East and the West, they will go head-to-head in play-in series, basically 5 versus 12, 6 versus 11, 7 versus 10, 8 versus 9. The play-in series will be a best of 5. And then the top four teams get a bye, and we still don't know yet, Adam, whether or not the league will reseed after those play-in series or if it will be just a straight bracket. It sounds like the league wants a straight bracket, and the players want to reseed after that first play-in series round. How would you feel about that Would you rather go with the reseeding or just a straight bracket?
That's a good question. I think it would be more advantageous to teams that performed well this season and the four teams in the Western Conference who received the quote-unquote bye into the first round. And correct me if I'm wrong here, Ryan, St. Louis, Colorado, Dallas, and Vegas.
Correct.
So it would be beneficial to those four teams. You know, if they're going to play each other to determine seeding, whichever team ends up as the number one seed, quote unquote, it would be most advantageous to them. It would be a reward for being one of the top four teams in the conference during the regular season, but winning the round robin tournament of sorts to play the worst remaining team in the field. So, for all intents and purposes, I believe from the stance of whether or not it's fair or not, I would say reseeding is probably the most fair in terms of rewarding the teams who performed well during the season.
I would completely agree with you, but I could see the league having a stance on this that they could play this up as almost its own summer madness, let's say, and you have a straight bracket and you can have a field day with it being a straight bracket. You don't have the confusion for some people of the reseeding, and you can have all sorts of online participation with fans with a straight bracket. I can see the league having that that mindset with wanting the bracket over reseeding. But also with the first and second rounds, we don't know whether or not it would be a best of five or a best of seven. The conference final and the Stanley Cup final would be a best of seven like it normally is. Now, everyone listening right now says, okay, when is this going to happen? We still don't know. Phase two of the NHL's return to play will not start before June 1, which is small training groups at team facilities. And then phase three of the return to play will not start before July 1. And that phase includes full team training camps. So training camp won't start before July 1. And Don Fehr of the NHLPA added just after Gary Bettman was on that it would likely be a three-week training camp. So, Adam, if by July 1st the NHL can dip into phase three, we're looking at late July, maybe even early August, before this playoff format that was presented by Gary Bettman today, before that can even go into play.
Yeah, and the most important thing in all of this, and you mentioned it, Ryan, as we were first discussing this, is it's if the season can come back. It's great that we have an idea of what the NHL and the Stanley Cup playoffs could look like if the NHL is allowed to come back. We still don't know if that's a possibility. It seems to be trending in that direction. We've seen it in other sports. Other leagues are starting to develop their own return to play programs, and it's certainly exciting for those of us who have been sitting here. You know, Ryan, the Predators' last game was 11 weeks ago today.
Oh.
I mean, we've been sitting here for the last 11 weeks with no sports. So we're very excited about the idea of having sports, but the most important thing to remember in all of this is if the season can come back, because the coronavirus pandemic and neutralized enough that it is safe enough for players to resume play.
That is correct. And Gary Bettman did not make any guarantees of whether or not this will actually happen. This is just their plan, again, if they are able to return to action later this summer. And then Gary Bettman went through a whole, you know, calculus course over the NHL draft lottery. We're not going to go into all the semantics of that, but phase one of the NHL draft lottery, which will feature the seven teams that did not make it into the 24-team plan, those seven teams will be put into an NHL draft lottery that will be conducted on Friday, June 26th, which is the date in which the first round was going to happen if COVID did not strike. That was going to be the first round up in Montreal for the 2020 NHL draft. So when you look at this just as a whole, Adam, anything stand out to you compared to what you were expecting? Anything that you like versus what you were expecting? What were kind of your initial thoughts with what Gary Bettman had to say today?
Well, there has been a lot of reporting that's been going around over the past couple of weeks that seem to point to this being the league's plan. So we've already sort of had an idea that this was going to be what the league was going to do. I think the most important thing, perhaps, at least for me, when I was listening to it, is the fact that the regular season has been declared over. There was a lot of discussion about whether or not they would play some sort of games or, you know, some amount of games in order for the teams to reach an even number, because points percentage makes things a little bit uneven for some teams. But the fact that now we know the regular season is over, you know, I think that was the most, that was the first thing that struck me when I was listening to Commissioner Bettman talk. You know, no, we're right into the playoffs now. So you can look back at the Predator season, look at their numbers, and this is what the 2019-2020 regular season looks like.
For me, it was the fact that there's not going to be any sort of warm-up games, per se, before teams get a chance to have the best-of-five play-in series. Like the Preds and the Coyotes, that's the 6 versus 11 matchup. We're going to get to that here in just a few minutes. But the fact that these teams are going to go more than 4 months, perhaps even 5 months, without NHL hockey, and they're just going to step right into what's supposed to be essentially playoff hockey, games that have a lot on the line and you have a best-of-five series, I think that's a slippery slope to go down if you're not going to give these players ample enough time or reps to then accelerate their game into playoff hockey. I think there's going to be a lot of injuries coming out of, you know, the first or second rounds of the playoffs.
Yeah, certainly. We've talked to multiple Predators players over the past couple of months who have said they're going to need at least 3 weeks to get back into game shape. And that might not even be enough. So, you know, perhaps the one advantage to being a play-in team is the opportunity to play those high-stakes games right away. Not to say that the top four teams won't be playing high-stakes games, because they'll be playing for seeding, but perhaps the teams that play in those play-in rounds can knock the rust off a little bit faster than the teams at the top.
But as we've been saying all along for the last 2.5 months, that no matter how the NHL cuts this, not everybody's going to be happy. So this is the direction the league is going down, and we have a plan from the NHL. Meanwhile, Major League Baseball still fighting over money during a global pandemic. Coming up next, Predators versus Coyotes. What are our first thoughts on that potential best of five playoff series, or play-in series, I should say? We'll get to that coming up next. He's Adam Vinken of The Athletic. I'm Ryan Porth. You are listening to Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back into Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth alongside Adam Vinken of The Athletic. Preds Insiders brought to you every week by Cool Springs Laser Dentistry. For all your dental needs, visit KellyERice.com. Nashville's number one Ford dealer, Wyatt Johnson Ford. Kerry Zier, Remax Elite, and Geno's East on the corner of 3rd Avenue and Korean Veterans Boulevard in downtown Nashville. Adam Vinken and I are reacting to what Gary Bettman had to say today, the NHL commissioner, coming out this afternoon and announcing the return-to-play format if the league can return to play later this summer. Bullet points: the 2019-20 regular season is deemed to be over. All stats are final. If the league can return, it will do so with 24 teams. It is not expanding the playoffs. It is just a 24-team return-to-play format. The play-in series, seeds 5 through 12 of them going head-to-head, that is deemed to be the qualifying round, and that will be a best-of-five. And the training camps cannot start before July 1. So there's still a ways to go here, but some positive signs, some positive news from the NHL today, and the NHL beating the NBA and Major League Baseball to the punch on how they plan to return to play if they can later on this summer. The dates are a complete moving target. All right, Adam, When you look at this from a Nashville Predators point of view, obviously going up against Arizona in the qualifying round, the best of five, 6 versus 11. First observation from me is that it's good that there's no Kostitsyns, no Radulov, and no Scottsdale in the picture here.
I may have made that joke myself. I mean, it's also just great that there are no games in Arizona, because I looked it up today. The Predators are winless in 6 of their past 7 visits to Gila River Arena, or whatever it was named before that. I believe they are 1-4-2 in their past 7 games in Arizona. So the fact that they don't have to play in Arizona, like, I feel like the Predators, for the most part, I mean, the Coyotes always give them trouble. But I feel like the Predators almost always win the games between the two teams at Bridgestone Arena, but always lose the games in Arizona. It just feels that way.
Sure. And
what do you think?
Well, even Arizona here in Nashville has given the Predators fits. I mean, Arizona was one of those teams under the direction of Peter Laviolette that had their number. You could throw Arizona into that mix. You could throw Detroit into that mix for whatever reason. But then Peter Laviolette always had Tampa Bay's number. So none of that ever made any sense. And these two teams split in the 2019-20 regular season that is now deemed over with. And both games had Peter Laviolette behind the bench. So I don't think we can take anything away from those first two meetings between the Predators and Coyotes this season and apply it to what we would see later this summer in a best of five scenario.
I agree. And for me, the most intriguing matchup within the matchup, as we like to talk about, here's a bit of trivia for you, which is going to be very easy for everybody listening. Taylor Hall, member of the Arizona Coyotes, you may have forgotten that. You may have also forgotten that he won the Hart Trophy 2 years ago. Who was his coach when he won the Hart Trophy, Ryan?
John Hines.
Bingo. I'm very curious to see how that matchup would play out. I know I've read in the past that Taylor Hall gives John Hines a lot of credit for his Hart Trophy season. You know, from a strategic game planning standpoint, I'd be very curious to hear how John Hines would try to stop Taylor Hall, who, albeit has not been fabulous for the Arizona Coyotes, but still a very good player. So that's sort of the matchup within the matchup that I would be looking at based on what we learned today.
Well, and Arizona was actually, from a results point of view, they were worse with Taylor Hall than they were before they acquired Taylor Hall, which is kind of hard to believe because Arizona needed a player like Taylor Hall in their lineup. They were getting offense by committee, really, for the last 20 years, and they get a dynamic scorer in Taylor Hall, and then they were very up and down with him in the lineup.
They were, and I think one thing that also hurt them as well, and again, it's been so long since we've seen hockey that I'm not as up on my Arizona Coyotes knowledge as I once was, but Darcy Kemper, who was playing fantastic in goal for the Coyotes this season, missed a lot of time due to injury. He was getting some buzz as a Vezina Trophy candidate throughout the season, and we know how goaltending can affect the series. But that's a very good team. You know, when you think of the players on that team, you know, they've got a lot of really young, intriguing talent. Of course, Taylor Hall and Phil Kessel are veterans. They're not young. But then you look at players like Oliver Ekman-Larsson and Clayton Keller. You know, these are players who, many of whom have never played in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So certainly motivation on that side as well.
Well, and there's going to be a number of different factors that we're probably not even discussing or thinking of here on May 26th when it comes to matchup within the matchup or different factors for teams that could go on a run, 2 months from now if the NHL is able to start in late July. But the Coyotes, just off the top of my head, one of the youngest teams in the NHL. The Predators, as we know, one of the older teams in the NHL. I wonder how that would factor into the fact that these teams would have had close to 5 months in between games, how that may factor into a best of five series like that when there's absolutely no, you know, warm up games beforehand.
And there's no home ice advantage.
Sure.
You know, the Predators aren't going to have the Bridgestone Arena crowd to cheer them on. It might be empty. It probably will be empty. And, you know, the only home ice advantage, you know, tool that the Predators will have is the ability to have the last change, which is important. But when you think about how important home ice advantage is to teams, how important they make it out to be, you know, the Predators aren't really going to have any advantage other than, as I said, last change for three of the five possible games.
Well, you left out the fact that the Arizona Coyotes won't have their home ice advantage of having the Coyote howling in front of 9,000 people.
Yes, that as well.
Yes, and the crickets that you hear here are about what you would hear in a normal regular season game in Arizona, but I digress. I looked it up. Arizona is 13-16-4 with Taylor Hall in the lineup.
And that's not all his fault, but certainly he has not been as dynamic as they would have hoped he would be when they traded for him from the New Jersey Devils.
Sure. They were 20-13-4 when they did acquire him from the Devils. And in a contract year, Taylor Hall, I mean, 27 points in 35 games is not all that bad, but just 10 goals in those 35 games for someone who, as you put, won the Hart Trophy just two seasons ago by scoring 39 goals in 76 games, for Taylor Hall to only have 16 goals in 65 games, that's not anything that would scream elite forward going into free agency.
No, certainly not. That will be, you know, you think about contract years, right? You think about the players the Predators have on contract years, like Mikhail Granlund and Craig Smith, and to a lesser extent, you know, Colin Blackwell. You know, this is an opportunity for those players to cash in. And we don't know what the salary cap's going to look like because of all the lost revenue from the games that didn't happen. We don't even know when free agency might be. But certainly an added motivation for those unrestricted free agents is to play for their next contract. So if Taylor Hall can have a breakout Stanley Cup playoff in a 2014 format, he could cash in whenever next season is. But, you know, that's another thing you have to consider as well.
Absolutely. Well, when you look at the Western Conference as a whole, we've been talking about Nashville as the 6th seed, Arizona as the 11th seed. You've got Edmonton versus Chicago as the 5-12. Then Vancouver, Minnesota as the 7-10 matchup, and then Calgary-Winnipeg as the 8-9 matchup. Anything stand out to you from those four different qualifying round matchups within the Western Conference?
I'm sure the league is thrilled that the Chicago Blackhawks are back in the playoffs. That's an interesting series, though, Edmonton and Chicago. That might be fun to watch. It might be very fast. The other ones don't pop off the page at me. You know, I'm not sure I'm gripped by Vancouver, Minnesota, or Calgary, Winnipeg. But I think Edmonton, Chicago might have the ability to be the most entertaining of the best of five qualifying round Western Conference series. What about you?
Well, I would agree with you because of the star power. I mean, Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl for Edmonton, Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews for Chicago, Alex DeBrincat as well, and they're a team that you give them a second life with all the experience that their core team members have. I mean, all bets are off in this postseason format, or in the, I should say, this return to play format from Chicago to St. Louis. I mean, Nashville could just as easily go on a long playoff run as St. Louis could flame out in the first round. It kind of feels like this entire format is going to be a toss-up, which is going to make it very, very intriguing, even to the French hockey fan that may not have been paying attention for most of the regular season. Under this format, it's going to be a complete just toss-up throughout the entire NHL. You could have a team that wasn't scheduled to be in the top 16 or slated be in the top 16 due to the standings be in the Stanley Cup final or the Cup champ.
Right. It's interesting. And I'm curious to see what ends up happening with you know, the top four teams and how they're ultimately determined and how seeding works. So we have, if the Predators were to beat the Coyotes, we would have, we don't have any idea who they would play. You know? It could be one of those four teams, and you could certainly make your cases for and against which of those four teams, you know, best, the Predators best match up with. If I'm not mistaken, the Predators swept the season series with the St. Louis Blues, but do you want to play the defending Stanley Cup champion in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs? You know, Colorado, a team on the rise, Vegas, a great team, Dallas, the Predators, of course, had their issues with them last season. You know, so, you know, that's another discussion for another time, but I feel like we're a college football fan waiting for a bowl game, because we're going to be talking about the Predators playing the Coyotes for like the next 2 months. So we might as well just get used to it.
Or for the entire 8 months leading up to Labor Day weekend of Alabama versus Florida State, and everybody in the state of Alabama just talking about Florida State.
Yes, you know, it's hard to say. You know, I'm not sure how much Arizona content I can come up with, but I'll try.
Well,
I'll try.
And I don't know if we have stated this, but it should be stated that the top four seeds in each conference will play a round robin tournament to decide that seeding. So even if it was a set bracket and there wasn't reseeding beyond the qualifying round or the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, today we still don't know what team the Preds would play if they advanced past Arizona, whether it was a set bracket or not. The three seed right now is Vegas, but that could change before the first round of the playoffs if it happens.
Yeah, certainly. I'm just happy that we have something on paper.
I know.
That's what I'm most excited about.
Amen to that.
So I can live with the hypotheticals just now that we have something on paper to discuss. We actually have hockey to discuss.
Well, think of where
I look forward to having, you know, significant deep conversations about the Arizona Coyotes with you from those who buy the game for the next 3 months.
Well, I will say this, from where this thing started in mid-March, where we were debating whether or not the playoffs would just pick up on April 8th when they were supposed to start, and how the NHL should go about that, to all the different scenarios that the NHL, or I should say the NHL insiders, have been putting out there as the rumored considerations for the NHL to return, now that we have something on paper, thank God.
That's what I'm thinking. I agree.
So Adam Finkin of The Athletic has been my guest here on Preds Insiders this evening. Adam, thank you for joining not only myself, but Jared and the GM earlier this afternoon after the news broke from Gary Bettman and the National Hockey League. And I'm sure we'll be talking a lot more Preds and Coyotes over the next 2 months.
Yeah, I can't wait. Thanks, Ryan.
There you have it, Adam Finkin of The Athletic, weighing in on what NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman had to say today. And speaking of Gary Bettman, when we come back, you'll hear some of what he did have to say in his press conference earlier today, and I'll weigh in with a couple extra thoughts as well. That's all coming up next on Preds Insiders. You're listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Ryan Porth back here on Preds Insiders this evening, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Before we get back to the NHL return to play format, ourselves and the Nashville Predators are teaming up on the Eat With Us game, which allows you the opportunity to go out, order takeout from a local restaurant. You can get a sticker from the restaurant, add it to your, I guess you could call it a bingo card, but it's basically a game card. You take a picture of it. Once you reach 8 restaurants, then you post it on Twitter with the hashtag EatWithUs and tag the Preds and 102.5 The Game and the restaurant. And for more details, go to our Twitter account at 102.5 The Game. If you secure 8 stickers, so if you go to 8 different restaurants and prove that you went to those restaurants by getting the 8 stickers, you will receive a Preds prize pack. If you secure all 16 stickers, and there are 16 restaurants on this list, you will receive a Preds player autograph puck. So a pretty cool thing that we're teaming up with the Preds on. Again, you can go to our Twitter account at 102.5 The Game for more info. The National Hockey League came out today. Gary Bettman, commissioner of the league, laying out the 24-team return-to-play format. The bullet points once again. The 2019-20 regular season is essentially over. If the league can return, it will do so with 24 teams in two hub cities that will house 12 teams each. Those two hub cities will be determined likely in the next 3 to 4 weeks, as Gary Bettman told the media following his press conference. The top four seeds in each conference, I should say, will get a bye in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and the seeds 5 through 12 in each conference will go head-to-head in the qualifying round, which will be essentially a best-of-five play-in series. The Nashville Predators will go toe-to-toe with the Arizona Coyotes in the 6 versus 11 matchup in the Western Conference. Again, no dates have been set. The dates are a complete moving target, but training camps will not start before July 1. Phase 3 of the NHL's return to play includes full team training camp, and Bettman said today Phase 3 will not start before July 1. So still a lot of time before all of this could go into action, but at least the league has a format and a plan for when or if that does happen. Now, the NHL draft lottery was as confusing for me as it was for you. Let's hear NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman lay this out as to how the NHL draft lottery will work in late June.
The draft lottery will determine which clubs make the first three selections in the 2020 NHL draft, and it will be conducted in one or two phases, depending upon the results of the various draws. The 7 clubs that did not resume play and the 8 qualifying round clubs that do not advance into the playoffs will enter the draft lottery. At the time of the first phase draws, we won't know which 8 teams won't advance from the qualifying round. So we have designated temporary placeholders with the odds that the collective group would have had. Phase 1 draws will be conducted on June 26th prior to the round robins and qualifying round. There will be 3 separate draws to determine which clubs possess the first, second, and third overall selections in the 2020 NHL draft. Each will include the 7 non-resuming clubs and 8 placeholder teams that have not yet won a draw. If any draw is won by one of the 7 non-resuming teams, that club or the club to which that first round pick was traded gets that selection. If all 3 draws are won by non-resuming clubs, there will be no need for a phase 2. Should any of the 3 draws not be won by a non-resuming club, we will conduct a phase 2 before the conference quarterfinals. At that point, the assignment of the remaining top 3 selections will be determined through draws, including only the qualifying round clubs that fail to advance. For any and all phase 2 draws, all teams involved will have the same odds of winning. Once the top 3 selections are determined, all remaining clubs will be slotted in reverse order of their 2019-20 points percentage.
So that was Commissioner Gary Bettman earlier today. Again, listening to him explain that was like sitting in calculus class, even though I wasn't in calculus back in high school, but you get my drift. But if the Nashville Predators do not get out of that qualifying round against the Arizona Coyotes, then they end up in phase 2/phase 3 of the NHL draft lottery. That's how it impacts the Nashville Predators. And June 26th, the night of phase 1 of the NHL draft lottery, was supposed to be round 1 of the NHL draft up in Montreal if COVID hadn't reared its ugly head and made sports as a whole come to a pause. So there's the explanation of the NHL draft lottery. Your guess is as good as mine as to how all of that will work, but Gary Bettman laid it out there for everyone earlier this afternoon. Now, a couple thoughts on my end before we get to hear from Harry Zollner, Chuck. Thought number one is, initially, I was opposed to the 12-team format, or 12-team in each conference, so 24-team format. I think you're letting in a couple of teams, particularly Chicago or Montreal, that don't really deserve to have an opportunity beyond the games that have already been played. We knew those two teams were very unlikely to make the playoffs. But I do get it. More games means more revenue for the NHL, which is going to be losing a lot of revenue out of the season pause and the fact that all of these games will likely be played without fans. You're losing revenue right there as well. So I understand where the NHL is coming from. And if the league comes back, that means we have hockey, and hockey is better than no hockey. So I will take it, even though I'm not in love with the 24 teams making it beyond the regular season, and you have this qualifying round before the normal 16-team Stanley Cup playoff. Second thought is this is going to be a whole lot of fun. This is going to be a whole lot of fun if it's able to happen, because you are going to have scenarios all across the board. The Blues could sweep their way to a second straight Stanley Cup, or they could get swept. This thing is going to be completely off the rails in a good way. It's going to feel a little bit like March Madness for the NCAA tournament, where some teams that may not be as good on paper, in a best of five scenario in the qualifying round, you could have the Chicago Blackhawks beat Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, and the Edmonton Oilers. You could also have Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and the Edmonton Oilers go all the way to the Stanley Cup final and win it. It is going to be fascinating to see how all of that plays out, if it can play out. And I think it's going to be a format that brings in a lot of the fringe fans, especially if the NHL is able to start before, say, the NBA can start, or if NFL teams can start training camps. If the NHL can start in late July, I think it's going to be a huge win for the league in terms of gaining a lot of exposure, especially on the NBC family of networks, where a lot of broadcast times have been vacated due to the Olympics being put off until 2021. Coming up next here on Preds Insiders, if you missed my conversation with Harry Zolnarchuk, former Predators forward, he was on that 2017 team that made it all the way to the Stanley Cup final. Harry Z joined me on game night, Friday night, to recap the 2017 playoff run. We aired Game 6 Remastered on Friday afternoon. If you missed Game 6 Remastered, you can find it on demand at thegamenashville.com. Harry Z had a lot of good stuff. You'll hear a snippet of that coming up next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Coming up at the top of the hour, it will be Slapshot Radio right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. But before we get to Paul McCann and company, I was joined Friday night by Harry Zolnarchuk, former Predators forward, who was a part of that 2017 Predators team that went on the magical playoff run that ended in the Stanley Cup final, two wins short of the ultimate goal. Harry Z joined me Friday night for game night to reflect on that playoff run, and here is a snippet of that conversation.
Anytime that the name Harry Z or Harry Zolnarchuk or the Z Factor comes up, everyone remembers that game two against the Chicago Blackhawks in the first round of the 2017 playoffs, where you scored a big goal in that game to make it 2-0. How vivid of a memory do you have of that goal that you scored in that game?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, probably, you know, the biggest goal of my career, of my life. It's something I won't forget, you know, for sure, of spending limited time in the playoffs and having, you know, memories like that. That's one that I will not lose track of or ever forget. That's for sure.
Well, some of us at the station, we were traveling with you guys, and myself and Darren McFarland were in the press box for that game in the United Center, as well as all the road games, and sitting right next to each other. When you scored that goal, I think I still have a bruise on my arm from when Darren punched me in the shoulder. Because it was, you know, no offense, but it was so unexpected that would happen. And that right then and there, we both looked at each other and said, you know what? I think this team is special. There's something different about this team than other Nashville Predators teams. When did you guys know that something was special in the room?
You know, it really was towards the end of the season and leading into the playoffs, and obviously that last push, that drive to get into the playoffs. you know, the cliche is it's not, you know, how you start, it's how you finish, obviously, but it takes, you know, it takes a long time for the team to really gel and find its place, find its purpose, find its identity, I guess you'd say. And, you know, obviously there are some big trades and some big pickups towards the end that really finished, you know, building that character and that makeup of the team. And to be honest, heading into playoffs, I think we just knew, I mean, I can definitely, you know, speaking for myself, and I think I'd speak for a lot of the guys, that team was different and it had a different feeling. I played on a lot of teams and bounced around a lot in my career. You know, for whatever reason, just that makeup was so perfect of the guys from character top to bottom, the leadership to the young guys and everywhere in between coaching. It just was a different feeling and a feeling that we knew we were just going to keep marching. And it started, you know, it really did. It started in Chicago. I still remember the first meeting and it was, you know, nobody, I think there was one reporter out of, I don't know how many had picked Nashville to win. It was a landslide and the line was that we were going to dismantle Chicago and nobody, you know, batted an eye that it was out of reach. And we went in and did that, which was, you know, unbelievable and turned a lot of heads. And then from there on, you know, we were cruising along with all the injuries and everything we faced. I mean, there was something different in that locker room that allowed us to get as far as we did.
Well, after the morning skate on the morning of game one, to bring Darren into the conversation again, Darren and I kind of looked at each other saying, there's something weird here, that like there's a focus level that's either like a great thing or it was a vibe that we had not gotten from that room all season long. And as it turned out, you guys were zeroed in. And Ryan Johansson said this for our Game 6 Remastered feature that we just aired today, that Chicago was the hump that team had to get over and that you guys treated it like it was the Stanley Cup final. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I mean, we geared up for that series coming in against all odds, you know, where everyone else had put us. We knew what we had in that locker room. Like I said, I mean, it wasn't like we need to push this, you know, to seven or we need to like, our plan was we're going in to dismantle Chicago. That was kind of the MO that we had there. We followed it right to a T, to a point where they, you know, they were obviously flustered and couldn't believe what was going on. But we geared up. We knew that was obviously our big hurdle to overcome, at least to get us, you know, to get moving and gain some traction. And when we did that, I mean, like I said, against all the turbulence that we ran into, we're still able to find a way to keep pulling through from the next series to the next and getting us right there to the finals.
Well, you mentioned how only one of however many writers picked you guys to win that series against the Hawks. A lot of local media did not want to see Nashville versus Chicago in the first round because they thought it was going to be a doomsday scenario
for
the Nashville Predators, as it had been in previous postseasons. But you guys were really confident that you could beat that team. Why?
You know, I think in it, obviously, like, you know, I'm sure the, you know, media in Nashville and the across the entire, you know, across the entire league, that's not the team you want to run into. I mean, they were a dynasty team and they still had all the pieces from that for the most part. You know, the reputation they carry is daunting and running into them as the, you know, the bottom seed against the top seed. Yeah. Like that's not a matchup you want to, you know, look into. But I think again, we break down their team and the players they had. And I think when we lined it up and we put our game plan in place, you know, we had so much belief that we could follow it to the point where it would, you know, as I've used it before, dismantle them. It's what happened. I mean, it really was just a belief. And, you know, you said you had that feeling and others had that feeling. It's not something you can draft or pick. It really, you know, I shouldn't say pick. It's not something you can draft. It's just, you know, a combination of everything coming together and figuring out that you have the right pieces and it's all working, you know, and moving in the right direction. And that's really what we had in Nashville that year.
So you use the word dismantle. I'll use Ryan Johansson's word that you guys steamrolled Chicago in game two.
Yeah.
You know, well, once you scored that goal to make it 2-0, then it became 3-0. Then it became 4-0. And then the booze in United Center. I mean, talk about turning the tables. The national anthem that night was the loudest building I may have ever heard on a Saturday night in Chicago, NBC. It was deafening in there. And then just a few hours later, they're booing the Blackhawks off the ice. What did that series as a whole do for that team in terms of a confidence level that you could play with anybody and you could beat anybody?
And really just that. I mean, that's exactly what it did. You know, you put a game plan in place. I've been on teams where you're going into a game or you're going into a playoff series and, you know, you have something in place and you're still second guessing what's going on. It's like, oh, I don't know if, you know, this sounds good. This looks good. I don't know if it's going to hold up. Do we stand a chance kind of thing? And, you know, there wasn't even an ounce of that, to be honest. And so when we were able, you know, and it probably couldn't have worked out any better that it, and as Joey said, we steamrolled them to sweeping them, you know, I think it just helped us understand that the plan we had in place was perfect for our team and for our style to keep moving forward. And the fact that it worked that well for us in round one just really built us, you know, up the confidence and, you know, all of that to keep us charging forward and, you know, into St. Louis, into Anaheim, and then, you know, obviously to Pittsburgh. But yeah, I mean that first series is the big one. I mean, that's where you either, it can quickly end or you can quickly build a ton of momentum that takes you to, you know, a different level. And that's basically what happened with Nashville. We just kept finding a new level of, you know, brothership. And by the time that thing you're getting to the end, I mean, you're as close as you can imagine. And it's an amazing ride.
So the season prior, the postseason prior, the Preds won the first two games on the road in Anaheim, came back and squandered that 2-0 series lead and had to go back out to Anaheim with the series tied 2-2. So I think the fan base in Nashville was cautiously optimistic after those first two games in Chicago. But I felt like it found a new level in this city when you guys won that overtime game with Kevin Fiala scoring dramatic fashion. You come back from down 2-0 in that game to win. It felt like this city in that moment wrapped its arms around you guys. Did you feel that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was like almost each game, you know, another game. I think that was a huge point for us. I mean, just you talking about it, you get the shivers, the feels, you know, the good feels or something like that. But, you know, that was a staple point in that series specifically, where it was like, you know, they were defeated at that point. You know, they really were. I mean, that was their chance to bring the series back around. Us coming back, Fiala winning it, you know, that was it. And then, yeah, I mean, the city, I've never been anywhere where I've seen the transformation. Not that they weren't that passionate, excuse me, that lively during the season. I mean, we had great fans, great support. But, you know, you ask any fan, any player, that city transformed, that downtown transformed into something I've never seen. You know, it was incredible. And I think you're right. I think that was, I guess I never thought about when it really hit us. I think that definitely was a point where, you know, everyone, including the fans, media, you know, realized this was for real. There's, you know, we're going to get out of this first round and we're going to start making some noise. And the fans came on board, and you know, not that they weren't on board to begin with, but, and they made a lot of noise too. So it was, it was pretty cool.
Thanks so much to Harry Z for joining me on game night on Friday night. If you missed any of that, you can catch it on demand at thegamenashville.com, or you can go to our Facebook page, The Game Nashville, and go back and watch game night between myself and Harry Zollnerchuk. So either thegamenashville.com to listen to it or The Game Nashville Facebook page to watch it. Either way, highly recommended. Harry Z was awesome Friday night. Coming up next, it is Slapshot Radio right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thanks for listening to Preds Insiders. We'll talk to you next week right here on your flagship home of the Nashville Predators, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app.